Spin 1038.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Thank you to the Academy.
Gold is the new movie starring Matthew McConaughey, and it is inspired by actual events. The story centres on Kenny Wells, who McConaughey plays. He's a modern-day prospector, hustler and dreamer, desperate for a lucky break. Left with few options, Wells teams up with an equally luckless geologist to execute a grandiose last-ditch effort to find gold deep in the uncharted jungle of Indonesia. We recently sat down with Matthew McConaughey and began by asking him, why did he choose Gold as his next film?
One, it's the movie I want to see first. It's the type of film, it's the type of story that I want to see first if I've got a choice of 20 outside the theater or in the hotel or what have you. And then the character, this guy, Kenny Wells, I felt like I knew who he was immediately. I grew up meeting guys like Kenny Wells through my father, was privy to deals that my dad would make with guys like Kenny Wells. My dad had some Kenny Wells in him. Hard-living hustlers at the bottom of the barrel, but optimistic as a survival mechanism every day to say today's going to be the day. And it usually wasn't, but you get up again tomorrow and you do it again and you say it again and you believe in it again. And most of them never found their gold or never made it, but and this is a story about a guy chasing down the American dream that did find it.
If you've seen the trailers to Gold, McConaughey has certainly been stuffing his face with the poise for the part. Here he is again talking to us about piling on the pounds and changing his physical appearance to play hustler Kenny Wells.
Well, fun. It's in service of the guy Kenny Wells, and I didn't plan on putting on a bunch of weight. I just started living like Kenny, and all of a sudden looked up and I was like, well, this is the guy. And so down that road we went. And he was, you know, like I said, the guys I met didn't have dentists. Mm-hmm. The guys I met that were Kenny Wells, is you chip your front tooth, you super glue it back, and you don't flinch, and it's no big deal. The guys like Kenny Wells are too busy hustling and surviving to sit there and look in the mirror or have concerns with what they look like. They're too busy trying to hustle, but a very pure, the purity of this guy's spirit, the fact that a man that has no problem turning down $300 million because they took his name off of it, but yet has a lot of trouble, and it's very hard to get up in front of his friends and accept an award of Prospector of the Year. Usually people sweat in their boots to turn down a $300 million offer, and receiving the award for Prospect of the Year is no problem. Not for Kenny Wells. It's the latter that made him sweat in his boots.
The story of Gold moves from a dusty bar in Reno to the jungles of Indonesia to the world of Wall Street. Here's McConaughey once again giving us his take on his character's journey.
And as a producer, it's one of the things I loved about it. I said, look at the dynamic. I mean, if we don't even know what the character is. And you said, we're going to follow a guy from the dusty bars of Reno to the jungles of Indonesia to the top floor in Wall Street. Well, I want to know what story and who's going to take us to those places. On a producing level, that's already what a dynamic landscape and a DP's dream and a director's dream. And then to follow this guy who starts when you meet him at the very bottom and gets to the very top by hook or by crook, hustles his way in, makes it happen, almost wills it to happen. It's fun.
Matthew McConaughey there talking about Gold. Rory Cashin is back with me in studio to review the film. Rory, this film hasn't been faring well on the old Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's in at something like 40%.
Yep.
Hasn't done particularly well in America. And bearing in mind Matthew McConaughey's last film, Free State of Jones, that bombed. So he's probably been thinking, come on, please, everything worked for me on this film. But it seems, Rory, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but ever since Dallas Buyers Club and the reconnaissance that Matthew has experienced, it's like he's still trying to chase Oscar glory with Oscar bait type of roles. And I'm thinking with this particular role in Gold, in a weird way, he thought this might actually bag me a possible nomination.
I could see why. It's based on a true story. It's a very interesting plot. It's one we hadn't heard before. It's something along the lines, maybe. You can see parallels with Wolf of Wall Street. He does the whole putting on weight and losing his hair thing, and everyone knows, by God, do the Oscars love it when you make yourself look less attractive than you actually are. And it's kind of from the director of Syriana, and he also wrote Traffic, so it's got some like Oscar credentials behind it. And then when you see the film, it's just kind of a mess. And more than that, it's borderline kind of dull. If it wasn't for McConaughey really going hell for leather in the role, to me anyway, there's not much to recommend.
McConaughey's performance, do you think he's in factory setting mode?
I think he's in McConaughey mode. He's playing another person who just seems like a vaguely another type of him. Mm-hmm. Like Wolf of Wall Street, Dallas Buyers Club to an extent, this, like everything I've seen him in lately, he just seems to be playing Matthew McConaughey
in a different
beard. The last time I seen him do anything truly brilliant was Killer Joe.
But that's when things were really starting.
That and Lincoln Lawyer was when he kicked off.
Yeah, that's so true, because we all know he was in a right old rut with those rom-coms, and I'm wondering, does he need to change things up? Maybe the Stephen King adaptation
of
the Dark Tower might help things up.
Yeah, it's a big blockbuster and he's playing a bad guy, and he'll probably relish in that because, he hasn't done that since Killer Joe. So that could be the one to turn it around for him a little bit.
Back to gold, Rory. Outside of McConaughey, what other performances really stood out to you in the film?
Edgar Ramirez, who seems to have a little bit more of a twisty-turny arc, because you're never quite sure of his backstory. And every time you think, oh, so this is the character he is, he comes back and puts a few more shades of grey on what the character you think you already knew. So yeah, their back and forth is very interesting in the film. But then we've got like Bryce Dallas Howard, who she's not very good in it.
But you know what, Roy?
She's not given a lot to do either.
I think she's wasted. It's just a really trite character. Yeah. It's the real thankless girlfriend role that she's been given. But the film has a very much a stop-start affair.
Yeah.
It's almost like the character Kenny Wells. Kenny is happy. Kenny is down on his luck. Kenny gets a setback. Kenny gets a win.
Yeah.
It kind of feels a little bit choppy.
Yeah, it's one of those films as well that feels like it was maybe an hour longer in the original cut. Because there's one point where Edgar Ramirez says to Matthew McConaughey, he's like, I told you, I warned you this would happen. And I turned to the person I went to see the film with, and I was like, when did he warn him? It's like, he didn't warn him. That conversation never took place in this film. It's like, oh, right. So there was obviously bits, like entire chunks of the film were just gone. And that's probably for the best, because even at 2 hours, I was like, oh, this is dragging, and I already know where it's going. And it didn't seem to pick up until like the last 25 minutes when the full reveal of what is actually going on in the plot takes place. And by then, it's too little too late for me.
All in all, Rory, my personal feeling on this movie was, yeah, it's definitely a film with a lot of flaws. Mm. And only that McConaughey holds the things together, it held my attention. But I still didn't think it was an absolute stinking turd. It was the type of film I wouldn't necessarily go to the cinema to see. If it came on television, I'd happily sit and watch to its conclusion. And speaking of its conclusion, I obviously won't give it away, but I did have issues with the way in which it ended, because it made me think, I don't know if that's the way it should end, because there's still questions to be answered.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree. That final shot in particular was just a real, like, gotcha, audience. You're like, no, you haven't got us. You've just annoyed us slightly more. Outside of McConaughey and Edgar Ramirez, I can't see there's anything in this to recommend. It's an interesting story told very poorly.
Okay.
And I give it a 4 out of 10.
Nice one, Rory.
Spin 103.8.
And the Oscar goes to...
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Thank you to the Academy.
Next up on We Love Movies is Resident Evil, the final chapter. The sixth installment, if you can believe it. Before we review it, here is the film star Mila Jovovich, along with her husband, writer-director Paul W.S. Anderson, discussing the last film in the franchise.
Coming back to the world of Resident Evil after the 3-year hiatus was just super exciting. Alice is coming back above ground from some insane battle that's happened between the last film and the new installment.
If she didn't want to return as Alice, we wouldn't make another movie. Because she is the one that makes you believe in this world.
I've been waiting years for this. The prodigal daughter returns.
Welcome home.
We played a long game, you and I. But now it's over.
Actors are so amazing.
Run fast!
The story is riveting. It really brings the whole franchise to this amazing closure the audience is gonna love.
So there's Mila Jovovich and her husband, who's also the writer-director, Paul W.S. Anderson, talking about Resident Evil, the final chapter. Rory is with me once again now to have the chats. Rory, I'm not a fan of these movies. When I first saw the first movie, Resident Evil, I thought it was shockingly bad. I thought they'd given this to the wrong man, Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yep.
He just is such a hack for hire. He always takes these video game adaptations and just really, I think, tarnishes them when they go onto the big screen. I would have loved if they gave him a Resident Evil to George A. Romero, man who knows his zombie lore so well. He's the godfather of it.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we're at six movies. Six. That beggars belief.
Can you name the other five?
The second one was Apocalypse.
Okay.
The third one was Extinction.
So far, so good.
I'm getting a bit hazy now. Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Was there like Revolution or Resurgence or something?
Exactly.
Like
it's the ultimate pub critic question because I had to research it before it came in. Like, there's Afterlife.
Okay.
And then there was Retribution. And now we're on the final chapter. Fingers crossed. I will say it's probably the best of the six.
Oh, right.
Which is faint praise.
Yeah.
Finally, it's leaned into its own bonkersness. Whereas previously I was like, this is awful. And they seem to think that this is like good sci-fi horror, and it's not. This is just finally just kind of giving in. You're like, you know what? We're not very good, but we're going to have some fun with it.
Okay.
And that's the best compliment I think I can give it, is that it's actually a little bit of fun.
Okay. Wow.
A
little bit of fun.
Really have to emphasize that.
Because Jorah from Game of Thrones, he's in it. He plays the villain. And there's some sort of connection to him and Mila Jovovich's character, Alice.
Ian Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having a great time. Like, really gnawing on the scenery. Just going to town. But again, like, there's something to do with clones. Like, again, I was reading up on the plots of the previous ones. There's clones and telekinesis. And
but Rory, everyone gets so muddled. They're so convoluted.
Yeah.
And I really don't know if there's such a hardcore fan base that when they really pick up where the last one left off, I think you really do need to look back and go, what actually happened?
Yeah, it was a bit like Underworld, where it's like previously on. You're like, oh yeah, yeah, they died, and oh yeah, now they're back and they're a clone, or they have special powers, and okay, fine. With this one, it's just like, they released the virus, the world's about to end. She's got to get here to release this other virus to stop the world from ending. Mm. Go.
And Roy, just before we get scores, does it feel like it's the end?
No.
Oh,
it does.
God.
Like, there's a real kind of at the end bit where she's, she's driving off into the sunset, and there's kind of leads itself up to there's still more to do. Now, hopefully it's just done and we can take a massive break and, as you said, get a Romero or someone decent in to do a proper Resident Evil movie, like they're going to do a Tomb Raider next year.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, Paul W.S. Anderson, if you come back and do another one, we're going to have words.
Oh, no, he's just awful. Out of 10, Roy?
4.
Spin 103.8.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Thank you to the Academy.
Just before we go, Rory, film's out next week.
The Lego Batman movie. Is that next week? Anyone who's seen the original one will have already loved it and will be very excited to see Batman get his own spin-off in this. And it's Will Forte... No, Will
Arnett.
Will Arnett. I always mix those up. Is Batman. And Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. So that's interesting. 50 Shades Darker is out next week.
Ah.
The first one made just shy of $600 million, which proves eternally that there is no accounting for taste. Fences, the one that Denzel Washington is up for the Oscar for, and he won the SAG Award there last week.
That's right. And
Viola Davis, and that's going to be a big Oscar one. And Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, which is the one that Ang Lee thought was going to win him all the Oscar awards, and has like Vin Diesel and Kirsten Stewart, and it's to do with a war vet coming back home, and everyone's going to celebrate it. But
if
in case you've noticed, there's not a single Oscar nomination for it.
That's very
and
true.
Do you know what that means?
Rory, I saw the trailer and I couldn't even believe it was Ang Lee that directed it.
Right. Exactly.
I was shocked. I was there going, this seems like Jarhead Part 4.
Yeah, like a real straight-to-DVD sequel of a good film.
I couldn't get over it. I was like, what, Ang Lee is attached to this?
So that's going to be fun to talk about next week. It's an eclectic mix, all in all. We've got S&M and kids films, but not in the same film.
Rory Cashin, we'll chat to you then.